This is episode number 152 of the Fearless Presentations podcast, the fastest, easiest way to eliminate public speaking fear.
Want to absolutely eliminate public speaking fear? This podcast is the answer. Here's the guy who literally wrote the book on Fearless Presentations, Doug Stannert.
Everybody, welcome back to Fearless Presentations. I'm Doug Stannert, CEO of the Leaders Institute, and this is the podcast that helps you become a fearless and professional speaker and presenter. This is episode number 152, and this week I'm going to show you a very simple five-step process that will help you prepare for your next presentation much more efficiently and effectively, and also cut your prep time in half or more. It'll cut your prep time pretty significantly. By the way, make sure to go to fearlesspresentations.com this week to look at the show notes for this episode. During the podcast, I'm going to reference a number of free tools that we've created to help people create presentations. So if you access the show notes, you'll be able to find every single one of those tools that I talk about, because I link to all of them in the show notes. So just go to fearlesspresentations.com, look for the blog post called Five Ironclad Ways to Prepare for a Presentation. You can actually probably just Google that. So if you just Google Five Ironclad Ways to Prepare for a Presentation, it's most likely going to take you right to the show notes for this episode. By the way, we also have a virtual Fearless Presentations class coming up in a few weeks, and I think we still have a couple of seats left in that program. So for details, it's also on the website. All right, so let's get on with today's topic. So the title today is Five Ironclad Ways to Prepare for a Presentation and Really Cut Your Prep Time by Up to like 137%, actually probably more than that, really. One of the things that we sometimes hear is we'll hear folks that will maybe come through our classes, or maybe they're looking for some presentation coaching. And one of the reasons why they have nervousness is they'll say, "Hey, I don't present very often. So how do I prepare for a presentation if it's not something that I do, you know, if I only do this stuff on occasion?" And by the way, that is by far one of the most common questions that we get asked as presentation skills coaches. And in fact, most public speaking fear comes from situations where presenters just don't speak very often. So they have a hard time really building up some momentum. You know, for instance, if you only drive a car once every couple of years, you're likely going to be nervous every single time you slip behind the wheel. However, if you drive every single day, the process eventually just kind of becomes second nature. So the same is true when you deliver presentations. If you don't speak very often, then your nervousness a lot of times will be higher, it'll be greater. So in these situations, the way that you prepare for a presentation will actually determine if you're going to be more nervous or less nervous when you speak. So basically what I'm going to cover in this session is I'm going to give you five time-tested ways to prepare for a presentation that will help you kind of speed up the process, make the time that you spend preparing for your presentation much lower, and it'll also help you reduce the nervousness as well. So let's go through these five things fairly quickly. So number one is you want to figure out what you want to say first, then create your visual aids. In fact, you want to create your visual aid, your slideshow and things like that last. So one of the biggest mistakes that people make when they create a presentation is that they start with the visual aids. And by the way, I fall into this trap myself on occasion, probably more often than I would like to admit. But I'll give you a really good example of this. A couple of years ago, my team thought it would be a good idea to start doing weekly webinars for our clients. It was mainly for our customers. A lot of times folks will kind of go through our two-day public speaking class, and they'll want to get a refresher, but they don't want to go back through the whole class again. So we thought, oh, maybe we can just do some webinars. And by the way, I've been speaking for 20 plus years. Webinars, though, not something that I do a lot of, or at least didn't back then. I mean, I've done quite a few of them since then, but this was one of the first times that I started doing a digital version of kind of what I was doing in our classes. So I was a little nervous the first time. You know, anytime you do something new, anytime you do something for the first time, it's going to be a little nerve-wracking. So I spent the better part of, I would say probably 2 days or so, putting together the slideshow for this webinar. And it wasn't until I did the first kind of practice run through with a few of my team members that it kind of hit me that I was doing the exact opposite of what I would do when I was designing a presentation. I started with the slideshow, and so my delivery was really choppy and really somewhat boring. So basically, after I did that first run through, I went back to the drawing board altogether. I said, I can't use this. This is not working. And I used the tips that I'm going to share with you in this session to recreate my presentation first. And then after I had the great speech design, then I went back and created the visual aids for the webinar. So the whole process, by the way, the second time took less than a couple hours total. So it was a microscopic portion of the time that I spent the first time. And when I practiced it the second time after creating the new presentation, my delivery was much more fluid. The speech was easier to remember, easier for me to remember. And so I would suggest that you do the same thing. So start with organizing your speech first, then focus on your visual aids as the last step. So the second thing that you want to do is you want to spend time making your title really catchy so that you capture the attention of your audience very quickly. So actually, when you do get around to creating your visual aid in that last step, the first thing that your audience will see is the title. You know, when you put that up on the screen, that's the first thing that they're going to see. And each audience member will kind of make a snap decision as to whether the speech is going to be valuable for them or not. A lot of times just by looking at the title, that's all they see before they either turn on or turn off. Right. So if you spend a little bit more time making your title really catchy, then more of the audience will have a positive impression of you before you even begin to speak. Now, there are a couple of main steps in creating a really good presentation title. The first thing that you want to do is start with a title that is a complete sentence. You know, by doing this, then your audience will have a better idea of exactly what you're going to be covering in the presentation. And then after you have a complete sentence, then the second step is to think about the benefit to the audience of listening to your presentation. So if they sit through that whole presentation, what would be the benefit to them? So add that benefit to the end of the title. So I'll give you an example. Sometimes when I explain this, people go, "What? Huh? That doesn't make any sense," right? Let me give you an example. It'll hopefully clarify this a little bit. I had a client just in the last presentation class that I did a couple of days ago, and he was working on a contract to have the LA, or he worked for a hotel, and he was working on a contract to try to get the LA Rams to use his hotel when they traveled to on away games. And the title for most sales presentations that you'll hear, something like this, most of the time folks are going to put a title like "Our Hotel and the LA Rams," right? Or maybe something like "Why the LA Rams Should Choose Our Hotel," right? I mean, that's kind of that's a very simplistic title, but that's what most people kind of do. And it misses a really valuable part of what you could do with that title. So what this guy did was he did something a little different. The title that he ended up coming up with was "Our Hotel Will Give Your Players, Coaches, and Their Families a Luxury Experience with Streamlined Team Transfers in a Distraction-Free and Safe Location." Now, it sounds kind of wordy, but a lot of times what's going to happen is people, especially if the title slide is up on the screen before you start to present, it's the only thing they have to read. There's nothing else there, right? So even if it's a little wordy, it's fine. But one of the cool things that he did, though, was he put like two or three of the benefits to the LA Rams into his title. One of the things that they were looking for is they were looking for a luxury experience. I mean, these are high level people. And so he wants to make sure that they are, at their stature in the world, right? He also talked about the streamlined team transfers. That's one of the biggest challenges that a lot of times these groups have is it's a bunch of famous people traveling on a plane at an airport. And so there's lots of people around. And so when, if they could figure out a way to get the people that are on that plane to the hotel in a more orderly fashion so that they'll have the distractions, and it makes it a whole lot easier, and then making it really safe for them as well. So those were the things that he focused on, and he covered all of that just in his title. Now, you don't necessarily have to go through all of those steps in your title, but what he ended up with was way better than why you should choose our hotel, right? It gave reasons why somebody should actually choose this hotel. And by the way, I have a recent podcast on how to do your presentation titles better. And I'll link to that on the show notes. If you go to the fearlesspresentations.com, look for the show notes for this episode. I'll link to that particular podcast as well. So the third thing that you want to do to prepare for your presentation is you want to create a presentation outline with five or really fewer key points to cover. The more items that you put into your outline, the more difficult it is to remember and the more boring it's going to be for your audience. So you really want to cut down. It's better to cover a few items really, really well than to cover a lot of items in kind of a cursory way. So once you have a really good title, you'll find it much easier to organize those few key items, identify what those few key items are in your presentation, because the more narrow that your title gets, it makes you more focused. And a good technique, by the way, to use is to pretend that you are one of the audience members, the people that are going to be listening to this presentation, and then ask yourself, you know, if I knew nothing about this topic, if I'm just listening to this person speak for, you know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour, however long your presentation is, what would be the absolute most important thing that I would need to understand about this topic? And whatever the answer to that question is likely going to be one of your main bullet points or one of the main things that you're going to cover. And then you do the same thing to discover another main point. And then once you get to 3, 4, or 5 of these key concepts, you probably want to stop. Because if you're covering points based on their importance to the audience member, then by the time you get to the 6th most important thing, the relative importance for that one is going to be much lower than the first one that you came up with. So the more stuff that you cover, the less important it's going to be to the people that are in the audience, which means that they're more likely to tune out if they don't think it's going to be in their interest to stay tuned in with you, right? So think about your bullet points and the content that you're creating for your presentation. Think of it like a dessert, like a really, really sweet dessert, like a cheesecake or something like that. The first few bites are fantastic. However, the more you eat, if you overindulge, then you're eventually going to kind of start to feel sick and icky, right? So your audience is the same way. Instead of stuffing your presentation with a bunch of poorly created points, you just make a few of them and make them exceptional. That's why the analogy for the dessert really works well, you know? So if you cover, you know, if you got 100 different desserts to choose from, but none were really nice, it's kind of, you know, what's the point? Whereas if you just get that one, really that perfect dessert, where at the end of your meal, you're going, oh man, that's awesome. Right. That's kind of what you want to do with your content, you know, go cover things that are in your presentation that are most critical, most important, that are the things that the audience is really going to need. And they're going to like you as the presenter more, and they're going to like your presentation a whole lot better as well. By the way, again, I did a podcast on this specific topic on how to come up with your bullet points just recently. And I'll link to that in the show notes as well. So make sure and go to fearlesspresentations.com this week. Look at the show notes. There are going to be lots of links here that will help you kind of create your presentation really effectively. So the fourth thing that you want to do to prepare your speech really effectively is you want to clarify each of those points that you've created in your presentation outline by offering examples or stories or some other type of evidence, but examples and stories work really well. Most people think that you have to fill your presentation with lots of data to make the presentation have high value. And I'm not saying that's not totally true, but a great example is worth 8,000 points of data. So the example is easier for the audience to understand. It's also for you, the presenter, to remember as well. For instance, if you're giving a report about how revenue dropped suddenly at the start of the COVID pandemic, you got a couple of different options. Number one, you could try to remember all of the numbers involved, probably a bunch of them, or worse, just reading a series of numbers to your audience. A lot of times folks will just kind of create a different bullet point for each one of the numbers. But a better way to do it, though, is to create a data table and put that in a handout and then just give your audience a couple of examples verbally about what that data table means. So like, for instance, you could say something like, hey, guys, if you recall in late February of 2020, the COVID scare caused many of our potential contracts to be delayed. Then by mid-March, over 90% of those contracts that our sales team closed but had not yet been delivered, a lot of those canceled within a couple of weeks. So that all changed, though, in April when, and then you kind of go into the story about what happened, and give it an example of one thing that happened in April that kind of turned it around. That's where the income started to come back up, right? So if you give the details or the data in a narrative format or in a story format, the data now becomes more interesting. It's also easier for you to remember your story because you were there. You just play the video in your head of what occurred. And then it's also going to be easier for the audience to pay attention as well. By the way, and the easiest way to come up with a story for a bullet point is to ask yourself, like when you read your bullet point, if it's a really well laid out concept or really well laid out bullet point, you can just ask yourself, so what's a good example that I could use to explain this? And then come up with one or two for each one of those bullet points to prepare for your presentation much more efficiently and much more effectively. By the way, if you have trouble coming up with stories for your presentation, I did a whole series on this a while back on how to be a better storyteller. I'll link to that in the show notes as well. All right, so number five is you want to create your visual aids. Remember, I said at the very beginning that you want to design your presentation first, then create your visual aids. Well, now we've got a really effective presentation laid out. So now let's create a series of visual aids that will help us better explain those concepts now. So the easiest, by the way, to do the easiest visual aid is just to create a slideshow, either PowerPoint or Prezi or one of those things, right? So if you have a really good title and just a few well-written bullet points, you could just create a single slide. In fact, that's what we teach people to do in our presentation classes because it's easy. It's simple. This is a simple, it's so simple. Your audience will also appreciate your brevity. So that's why a lot of people like it because it's really short. It's really sweet. It's really easy. And the major advantage when you use this technique is that your audience will clearly, absolutely clearly understand what is important about your presentation because only the most important stuff is on the visual aid. There's nothing confusing about your visual aid. So this, by the way, the creation of the slideshow, now it takes just seconds. Before it probably would take you days before you design your presentation. If you start like I did in that first example, it took me a couple of days to create the slideshow. Second time takes seconds. It's very, very quick and easy. Now, by the way, if you want to make your slides more dynamic when you prepare for a presentation, you can use image creators like Canva and Adobe Spark. Those, they're really, really helpful. Personally, when I do virtual sessions, I typically make a separate slide for each of those bullet points. And when I use professional looking images, like from Canva, a lot of times I'll use Canva to create my images for my slideshow as well. And it helps me capture and hold the attention of the virtual audience a little bit more effectively. And by the way, all of the images that I use and the show notes, that's all created with Canva. So, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. So if you go to Fearless Presentations, you can kind of look at the different tools that I use to create my images as well. So now that you've prepared a fantastic speech, here's how you want to prepare for your delivery. This is the easy part now. So once you've got a really good speech, this part gets really easy. So to deliver your speech, start with an overview of what you're going to be covering. If you created a slide with your title and your key bullet points, you can really just quickly read them. You can just pretty much read them word for word or paraphrase them. You can say something like, hey, my topic is, and then read your topic. And the three or four or five things I'm going to be covering are bullet point number one, number two, number three, right? Really, really easy. That's an easy overview. And this, and it only takes a few seconds and it gives your audience a really, really good idea of what you're going to cover. They'll know exactly what you're going to be covering in this presentation if you kind of do that. Then once you've given them the overview, you go back to each one of the bullet points one at a time, reread the bullet point one more time, and then tell your story, your example, whatever concept that you're doing to reinforce that bullet point. And then move on to the next bullet point and do the same thing, and then move on to the next bullet point and do the same thing. And then after you've given your last bullet point and your last story or example, then you just quickly recap the main points one more time. You're basically just reading it one more time to them. So the process is really, really, really easy. And when you use this process, you will absolutely sound like an expert. It is one of those things that it's one of those simple processes that when you get really, really good at it, your audience will absolutely love you as a presenter just because it's so clean, it's easy, it's professional, and it doesn't waste any time from the audience. And so they're going to appreciate you as well. Another good thing that you can do, by the way, to prepare for the presentation is to practice once, maybe twice with a real person. When you practice alone, it can be bad, because when you practice by yourself, you aren't really getting any visual feedback to let you know if you're doing well. However, if you practice with a friend or a coworker, a significant other, when you say something that the person understands, then he or she will slightly nod. And when you see this, you know that you're communicating well. And if you see a confused look on the face of the person, you'll be able to adjust your delivery and really clarify the point that you're making. So without that feedback, you may get really good at your delivery, but you might be delivering a presentation that is confusing to the audience. So you're getting really good at a confusing presentation. With that being said, though, be careful not to over practice. You know, spontaneity will make your presentation much more interesting. It's going to make it more fun for the audience. And so don't lose that by over practicing, but you do want to practice once or twice with a person. You'll get really good effectiveness. By the way, if you're in need of a speaking coach or you would like some help with your presentation, visit the show notes, go to fearlesspresentations.com on our blog. We've got a form set up that can help people just like you get additional information about how to access one of our coaches. So thanks a lot for being a part of Fearless Presentations. We'll see you next week.
Subscribe to this podcast for new public speaking secrets each week.